everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show. How about this July? The wettest July on record. And Ray, actually, if we were to get a little more rain today, which doesn't look all that likely, I think we would become then the wettest month ever in second. So we're at the like second wettest month ever. But for certain, July was, second wettest start to the monsoon. There you go. But I mean, it's July is going to go into the record books as certainly the wettest. So there you go. After a very weird June, where it was like the hottest month ever here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show on this, the final day of July the 31st, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening. That's at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you would like to join in our discussion today at any time during the program, 790-2040. We begin on Monday with our Monday political face-off. Today's team of commentators, John Munger is here, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. In 2010, John ran as a Republican candidate for governor. Vince Robigo is here, longtime Democrat Party activist. Vince is a former Arizona Attorney General candidate. That was also in 2010. There must have been something in the water that year for both of these gentlemen.
Fluoride, perhaps. <There you go. laughs>
Vince is head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. John, did you have a nice weekend?
Had a fabulous weekend. I'm loving these monsoons.
You are?
Went out and played some golf in the, or, you know, 2 o'clock, on, and it was nice and cool.
Hmm.
It was wonderful. And because of the monsoons, people forget that the, you know, June is hot and part of July is hot, but with the monsoons, it really cools down. It's wonderful.
Things have greened up, Vince.
Yes, it's quite amazing, and I have to agree with John. That temperature drop, you know, yesterday, I thought I was stopped at the gas station. I think the register there said on the gas pump it was like 96 degrees or something.
A cool,
you know,
snap.
Midday. Yeah, it was, you know, very nice, and you know, the greening, and you see the lush plant growth throughout. Of course, it has given us with weed whackers a lot of work to do out in the yard.
Glad you do
so,
that.
So, yeah, we're doing a lot of yard work this weekend, trimming things, getting things, you know, trimmed down and looking nice. And I do want to say good luck to all the teachers and parents and families in TUSD and all those other districts that either are starting school this week or have or are about to. It's I know my kids are lamenting the loss of summer specifically.
Is this back to school week for them?
For TUSD.
But you know the good news?
Yes, what? It is.
We don't have to go back to school.
No.
Well, for those of us that still have youngins at home, we are vicariously having to go back to school through the children, getting them ready, preparing for the school year. So we are ready for eighth grade and freshman year.
Yeah, for years I'd get dreams like I got to do well on that test.
I know.
I guess that's, you know, so ingrained in all of us, right? The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe, for your support here of what we do. Family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing. I picked up two really nice frame jobs over the weekend. They always do just a very consistent professional job. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. If folks haven't heard, the Mooch is out. Scaramucci, the communications director for the Trump administration. He resigned, but kind of the word, the backstory of Vince and John is that General Kelly didn't want to put up with anymore.
Well, he shouldn't. I mean, I don't know how that guy could possibly be the communications director with that mouth. And I'm glad that General Kelly is there. I'm glad that Mooch is out. And I think it's a wonderful move.
Vince, some people are saying this just like a circus.
Well, I think many people are feeling that when you see sort of the disarray and chaos in the administration, and this would hold true if it was if he was a member of any party. If you see this kind of inability to have a structure that remains in place when you have, the press spokesperson leave after 6 months. Now you have somebody in there for less than a week. We saw the defense secretary step down. It's problematic because what you're not getting done is...
The defense secretary stepped down?
Who was it? Not the defense secretary. Well, it was the NSA.
Mr. Flint, was it?
Mike Flynn.
Mike Flynn.
National Security Advisor, okay. Excuse me. But when you see that, yeah, I apologize for misspeaking there. For any administration, what you're not seeing getting done is all of the other appointments that need to be made to have these various entities running well, running like the operation should. So you see that's a major problem on one hand. And then on the other hand, what you don't see getting done is you don't see major legislative accomplishments. It doesn't mean that the Trump administration is not accomplishing some form of damage to either the agencies or the policies that were enacted previously, the agencies that exist, that he's put largely people that are against the philosophical mission of many of the agencies. So there are things getting done. There is no doubt. You see, for example, Secretary DeVos refusing to implement student loan protections that were put into place by regulation that was duly noticed and went through a full process. You see things like that happening with various agencies. But what you don't see is from just the executive administrative branch, you don't see the agencies overall operating as they should, and you also don't see legislative accomplishments. And to sort of cap off, because I know John wants to weigh in here, it is a circus. And many people have viewed the president sort of as an entertainer, the clownish figure. And when you send a clown there, you're going to get a circus. And I'll end with that.
Good line, Vince.
That was a good line.
That's a good line. Well, actually, I think that a lot of things are being accomplished. You look at DHS under General Kelly. The illegal immigration has decreased since President Trump took office. It's decreased by 78%. We're actually going after sanctuary cities. We've had great progress in the educational front, as you've indicated. The Attorney General is doing wonderful things, going after immigration, amongst other things. You've
Talking
seen
about
a
Jeff,
lot.
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions. You've seen a lot less leaking from the White House in the past couple of weeks. They're really going after that. And insofar as the appointments, Vince, you know as well as I do that the president has nominated people, but the Democrats in the Senate who control the process of advice and consent of the nomination of these people are holding up the nominations.
The Democrats are in charge of advice and consent. They are not in charge of Congress.
They are using all the rules of the Senate to hold up the nominations. Because what happens in the Senate, as you're well aware, is theoretically on a nomination, you have a right to 30 hours of debate per nominee, and the Democrats are insisting on 30 hours of debate on each nominee. So the nomination process is way behind.
So you're saying it's obstructionist?
Well, yeah, I don't want to. Yes, it is. But all I'm trying to say is the nominations have been made, but they aren't clearing the Senate because of the machinations of the Democratic Party in the Senate. I am glad to see General Kelly come in. I think that's going to be a very positive
thing. He's a no-nonsense guy.
He's no-nonsense. And I think this is a great move. I also want to point out that you've seen far fewer tweets from the president that step on his weekly message. The White House has a weekly message each week that it tries to get out each week. And for a long time, the president there was an official message, and then he'd send out a tweet that would talk about Russia or something, and it would divert the conversation from what the official message was to be. And you haven't seen that the past couple of weeks. You also have not seen the leaking going on. So I think they're getting things squared away. I certainly hope they are.
All right. Before we take the break, Vince, could you quickly comment, because you know a little bit about this, a judge in Phoenix finds former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio within the last hour, the verdict from the judge, guilty of criminal contempt. Sentencing is October 5th. What was this about, basically?
Well, this reaches all the way back to the sheriff's attempt to enforce immigration laws and do so in a manner where he was found in a civil case to have been racially profiling. And what happened in that case is the judge had made various orders for the sheriff's office to comply with both training of deputies and to sort of cease and desist in certain types of conduct. And the sheriff, who has and still has a very, very large ego, essentially, you know, flaunted the orders and did what he wanted, and did so vocally. And it was seen, it was done, and it was essentially in contempt of our justice system's court orders. And that's what happened. And so they, after the civil case was over, the federal judge in that case in Phoenix referred the case for criminal prosecution of what's called criminal contempt of court. And so there was a long battle as to whether or not that required a jury trial or not, and it was ruled that it did not. It went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which declined to say that that kind of a charge, it's a misdemeanor charge. But today, after a bench trial on these criminal charges, the judge found that, in fact, that the sheriff was guilty of criminal conduct.
All right. Before we go, he's an 85-year-old man. Would you foresee federal jail time, or just because of his age, just some kind of probation or something?
It's hard to say. In many misdemeanor cases, particularly when you're looking in federal court where there are not that many misdemeanor prosecutions, in most cases you might not see any sort of criminal jail time. It's hard to say here, because here this is one of those sorts of cases where you have an elected official essentially thumbing his nose at the justice system. So it's very difficult, though, when you have somebody that's up there in years, you know, because you have you make sure they receive adequate care. You might see some jail time. If so, it would probably be I don't know. It's hard to say. You can't get lengthy prison sentences for any misdemeanor, whether it's state and federal system. It's less than a year.
Maximum a year.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going to see a lengthy sentence, but we'll see what the judge does.
All right. Take our break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. Munger and Robigo with us today. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, the Terry Bracey commentary from Washington, D.C., Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and how the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona is working behind the scenes in this community to make it a more livable place. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our face-off. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Before the break, John Munger and Vince Robigo. Vince was kind of filling us in, John.
He was going on and on about
the judge finds former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, an 85-year-old man, guilty of criminal contempt. And before we move on, you wanted to make a comment.
Well, I've met Joe Arpaio many times and in his office and one-on-one. And I've always thought that Joe had the right concept of enforcing the law. But I think in the past few years, he got a little carried away with himself. He's got a huge ego. As I told you at the break, I am about justice, and I'm about people following the law.
You said you were sick and tired of people not following
the law. I'm sick and tired of people not following the law, all the way down from the White House, all the way down. That was one of my big problems, and I don't want to get into a big debate with that about Barack Obama not following the law. That was my position. I know Vince, I'll just say it, Vince disagrees with me, and that's fine, but that's my position. I want people to follow the law. If they don't like the law, they need to go in and change the law. But once we have a law in the books, you need to follow the law. And if Joe Arpaio had a court order saying you will not do this kind of profiling, then he should have obeyed the law. And he should have obeyed the court order. So I'm just not sympathetic with anybody from any party that doesn't follow the law.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think okay. John and I agree on this. Anytime you have an elected official who abuses the law for whether it's a political purpose, even if they may have had intentions
above the
at the
law.
Beginning, they should
Nobody
never
is
be.
Above the law.
Nobody's above the law. And there was a lot of testimony and evidence that came out in that particular case. And at one point, the sheriff apparently, from what I understand, had deputies tailing the wife of
wife.
The judge, of
yeah,
the
I mean
federal
that,
judge.
That kind of intimidation by a law enforcement entity is just, that's ugly. And it should never happen. And anybody that does that should be run out of office.
Yeah, and if you recall, some of that kind of you tie back into some of the conduct that had been going on years ago and with the sheriff's office with the former Maricopa County attorney who eventually got disbarred because essentially and of course the sheriff didn't make the call, the county attorney made the call to essentially indict sitting judges and supervisors up there in Maricopa County for a fantasy phantom claim of some sort of a conspiracy that ultimately had no merit, and they, and ultimately the Maricopa County Attorney Andrew Thomas was disbarred, as were several deputy prosecutors. And then what they were also doing is they would then, I think Andrew Thomas sued, if I recall, sued one of those judges and defendants in his own criminal cases that he was bringing. It was crazy.
Law enforcement authorities should enforce the law, not try to make the law, and certainly not ignore the law. I think our present Pima County Sheriff is doing a great job of that. He's just out enforcing the law as it exists. He's not trying to make new law. And I commend him for that.
What was that, Ray? Would you put that up there again, that his attorneys are going to seek, are going to appeal the verdict?
Of course.
And they will seek a jury trial, which apparently already was tried and failed before.
They did try already, and they went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. There was no big decision on the merits, but if I recall correctly, right before the trial started, the U.S. Supreme Court, they filed some sort of petition, if I recall correctly, and the justices declined to hear it with respect to this claim that he was entitled to a jury trial. That's one thing many people don't realize, actually, that there are many crimes, actually, that you are not entitled to a jury trial on when you're at the misdemeanor level. So there are a number of crimes, both at the state level and certainly in the federal level, where you just don't get a jury. You get the judge hears the evidence and then makes a decision.
All right. Only a couple of minutes left, but I'll just throw this out there very quickly. Jeff Flake was on, I think it was CBS Face the Nation yesterday, John Munger, and he said the Republican Party has lost its way. What do you say to Senator Flake?
I would say to Senator Flake that he's lost his way. I think Senator Flake, I'm not a supporter of Senator Flake. I don't see him leading on anything. You see senators out there leading on various bills and issues. I don't see Senator Flake out leading any place.
Do you think Kelly Ward would have a shot in the primary against him?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the polling, but I suspect yes. I am disappointed with Jeff Flake, and I will not support him in a primary.
Mm.
I think that Senator Flake has not exercised any leadership on any issue that certainly that I know about. He disappears for 6 years. And he doesn't come back until he wants money and support for his reelection. He was one of those people.
Yeah, some people criticize he's just not around Southern Arizona.
Well, he's not around much, period. He promised in 1996, when he ran for Congress, that he would serve three terms and then he would quit. And he's still in office. And I don't respect that, and I don't think he's the indispensable man. If he were leading on an important issue, fine, but he's not leading on anything.
Okay. John, I'm going to have to run. Vince, quick comment?
No, I tend to agree. Jeff Flake should be replaced. Obviously, it'd be for the general. We have different views on that. I thought there's a big contrast, for example, when and John has different views on the issue. But Senator McCain, for example, voted down the attempts to take away Americans' health care, and I thought John McCain was to be applauded for that vote, and Jeff Flake voted to take it away. Now, I'll just close on saying this thing about the law and upholding the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is, at least for now, still, Affordable Care Act is the law of the land, and the health care is there for people. It needs to get fixed, but we also cannot have what President Trump is threatening, which is to undermine the law of the land by not making payments under federal law as is required.
No, it is not it is not enforceable federal law.
But if he's going to undermine the rule of law by
not the rule of law
upholding it, then
it is
there's
not
a problem.
What Vince is talking about for the listeners
is
he wants President Trump to subsidize the insurance companies that are losing money on Obamacare. He wants them to subsidize the insurance companies with tens of billions of dollars. That is not enforceable law, and it should not be done. The Democrats' so-called fix on Obamacare is just to subsidize it more.
Okay.
Not true.
We can certainly pick up on this. The story will not be going away. We'll pick up on this on another face-off. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll talk about Strong Start Tucson with Penelope Jacks, the chair of that organization, right after the break. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Want to remind all of our listeners there's a great place to take a nice weekend getaway. That's Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Everything from hiking and camping to exploring historic Silver City. It's a lovely environment. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, 25,000 signatures were gathered during the past several months by volunteers and parents for something called Strong Start Tucson, an organization campaigning to create preschool scholarships through a half-cent City of Tucson sales tax increase. The goal was to get over 9,000 signatures by July the 6th to get on the ballot in November, the November 7th election. Penelope Jacks joins us now on the live line. She is the chair of Strong Start Tucson. Penelope, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
So is this...
How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. This is, I guess, have they gone through all the signatures? I mean, you've got plenty. It looks like it will be on the ballot.
It absolutely does. We are now Strong Start Tucson Proposition 204. So we're ready to go.
And why is this something that people should vote for, Penelope Jacks?
Well, there's one big reason, which is that children who attend high-quality preschool have so much better outcomes in life. They are so much more likely to graduate from high school. They are much less likely to ever need be involved with the prison system or to be on public welfare. They earn more money when they work, and they save money because there's lots of much less need for remedial care. So it's a high quality attendance at high quality preschool and supporting it is a tremendous bargain for our community. And in Tucson, only about 16% of the kids who live here actually get to attend high quality preschool because it's very expensive.
So
our goal is to create scholarships so poor kids, middle class kids, as well as rich kids can attend high quality preschool and get all those benefits.
So from what I understand, a nonprofit then, if this were to pass, would take control of the revenue stream and would be deciding who would be getting these scholarships. Is that correct?
A commission will be appointed by mayor and council, and they will set the standards for high quality, or actually articulate them since we have very good standards in Arizona already through the First Things First system. And the commission will then select, they will also set the sliding scale so that the poorest children get the most money and the richer children get less. And then they will select on a competitive basis a not-for-profit that will actually administer the scholarships.
There is an 8% administration expense, up to 8%. Does that seem high? Some folks have said that's kind of high.
It's actually not high at all when you look at the administrative costs associated with most programming. It's important to know that 8% also includes the costs of the city, so staffing the commission, the cost to the city of collecting the tax, this fee, the 2% fee that the state charges the city for collecting and then redispersing those monies back to us. So that is probably the majority of that 8%, actually. The remainder could potentially go to the not-for-profit. However, it will be awarded on a competitive basis. So, it's not just chunking a bunch of money over to someone irresponsible to spend.
It's interesting about the city council. Really, the council members have not come out in support of this. Are you a bit intrigued by what seems to be kind of a division among Democrats and liberals in town over this Strong Start Tucson?
No, I'm not actually very surprised at all. I'm disappointed in the council, to be perfectly honest. They keep saying, well, this is not the time. It's never the time for kids. Every year, this can gets kicked down the road, and people say, oh, there's not this year, next year we'll do it. next year has been next year as far as I've, long as I've been practicing and advocating for children. So I think if not now, when? So I'm very disappointed, but not particularly surprised.
Do you think that this will pass?
Yeah, I do. Our polling is very positive, and I think most Tucsons really understand the value of early childhood education and high-quality preschool, and I think most Tucsonans really value the idea of evening the playing field so that poor kids get the same strong start that rich kids do. That's really the primary goal here, is to break the cycle of poverty and give every chance to every child.
Child and Family Resources, the statewide organization, donated heavily, I understand, to getting the signature gathering process. Is there any kind of a conflict with Child and Family Resources if this were to pass, Penelope?
I do not think there is. They would certainly be free to propose that they be the operating not-for-profit, but it will be in the discretion of the commission to make that choice, who will best serve Tucson and best serve the program. So they will look both at track record and efficiency and effectiveness. So I think there isn't any inherent conflict at all. Child and Family Resources has been in the forefront of advocating for children for 30-some years, and I think no one has ever thought they had a vested interest in any such process.
All right, we've got two callers, and I've got less than 3 minutes to go. So Melinda will go first with Penelope Jacks. Melinda, go ahead, please.
Hello. I've raised several children, and I am a student of a doctor by the name of Gabor Maté, and he has written a book that says, hold on to your kids. And sending toddlers and three-year-olds and four-year-olds out into the world to socialize with other toddlers and to make bonds with them is not as important as children who have mothers and grandmothers that they are bonding with and learning from.
Okay, Melinda, thank you for your comment. Got to go to Penelope for a reaction real quickly.
Strong Start Tucson is an entirely voluntary program. Anybody who wants to keep their child home and has the freedom and the resources to do that, of course, can do that. But most families have require both parents to work. And that means children need to be somewhere, and just warehousing them does them no favors at all. I agree with Melinda about that. Giving them a high-quality experience really sets them on a path to success.
All right. One more call. Jim is with us. I believe it's Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Penelope Jacks.
Well, I'm glad that you think that the program is voluntary to participate in, but the reality is taxation is not voluntary. Once it's in, it's in, and there's no sunset clause on this. My other concern about this is sales taxes are regressive in nature to begin with, and you end up punishing the very poor people that you're supposedly trying to help. So I've got to tell you, this is a big no on 204.
Okay. Penelope, your reaction?
Yes, a couple of things. There is no sunset on this. When people stop having children will be the time to sunset. Or if, miracle of miracles, the state or federal government actually funds early childhood, that will be the time to repeal this. But in the meantime, that is not on the horizon. And unless we in Tucson provide for our own children, they will not have this asset. Yes, it is true that sales taxes are regressive. However, at least in this case, the people who will benefit most from this are also the poorest people. And they should have the choice to decide, is one penny on a $2 ice cream cone more important than actually providing high-quality preschool for children throughout the city?
Okay, Penelope Jacks, going to let you go. I know you're enjoying a little bit of R&R in Maine. How is it back there?
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, it's 75 and sunny.
Nice, nice. Well, you've missed all the rain. We've had a very wet July here, but we will see you when you get back. And what about your website? Do you want to direct people to it, please?
Yes, we'd love for you to look at the website, see our long, long list of endorsers. It's www.strongstarttucson.org. And for those of you who have questions, the full language of the initiative and lots of FAQs are available there, too.
Penelope Jacks, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Penelope Jacks, chair of Strong Start Tucson. And for sure, we'll want to get Penelope or some representative from her organization with someone on the program after Labor Day. Why don't we sit down for a half hour here and debate this thing on the Buckmaster Show? But right now, we've got AG Anthony Gimeno coming up. Wildcat football already back in camp. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over at Green Things. I'll be paying them a visit probably this weekend. I need some geraniums need some roses. Now that we've had all the rain, it's time to start thinking about autumn gardening. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And just like it's time to start thinking about autumn gardening, it's time to start thinking about Wildcat football. The Wildcat contributor to the Buckmaster Show, one of two dozen contributors that come on our program, we're very happy and honored they do, is Anthony Gimeno, sports journalist who has spent more than two decades writing about UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He is co-founder of a local blog that's doing very well called AllSportsTucson.com. He's co-written a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and he's part of the Wildcat basketball pre- and post game shows on 1290 AM. Anthony, how are you?
Good, Bill. Welcome to another Wildcat calendar year.
My favorite time of the year, of course, Wildcat football and college football generally. And of course, one of my big heroes from back in the day, number six, Chuck Cecil, who of course everyone has probably seen, if they'll say they were actually at the game, but they've seen the video of the, what was it, 106-yard return against ASU, the interception. Everybody remembers or sees, has seen that, I'm sure. Chuck's on back in Wildcat football.
Yeah, that's kind of the most exciting news around the program right now. As you said, the heat-seeking missile is back in Tucson. He comes, I'm usually not one big on, let's get a Wildcat on staff for the sake of having a Wildcat on staff. I mean, there's a lot of talented people who can do the job. Chuck just happens to be a Wildcat who brings a ton of great experience because he's coached in the NFL for 15, 16 years, all under Coach Jeff Fisher, who was most recently with the Rams and then the Titans before that. And unfortunately for Jeff Fisher and his staff, the Rams fired them at the end of last season. So Chuck was kind of looking for something to do. Rich Rodriguez needed something because he had a staff member, Matt Dudek, who has been on your show. When I guest hosted for you once, we had him on your show.
Really?
We did. We had him on talking about Wildcat recruiting. He was kind of in charge of the big picture recruiting plan and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And he left for Michigan last week, and then Chuck Cecil was able to come on board. And his title is kind of defensive analyst, director of player personnel, which is really an unusual title for a college program. The long and short of it is he's not an on-field coach, but as an analyst, he's able to work with the coaches in the meeting rooms, help with the game plan. He's able to interact with players in certain ways, just not on the field during practice or in games. So that will be, I'm sure his experience will be a great addition. I know talking to some of the players yesterday, they were excited. They hadn't yet met him, but they know who they are. They know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen the highlights. You can't, as you mentioned, you can't avoid them. There's the big, not just the 106-yard interception return, but just the big hit.
Yeah.
Was certainly known for being a big hitter.
You know, the blogs were just going crazy with this, AG. As you know, folks speculating, well, now the Wildcats have actually, some were saying, a head coach in waiting if things go south. You know what I'm saying.
I totally agree.
If things go south for Rich Rod, why do a big search? You got Chuck waiting in the wings. That could cause a little bit of friction.
Oh, I suppose. I don't think Rich Rodriguez is really looking beyond this year.
Okay.
You know, if Rich does well, then everything's,
right.
If they do well enough, however, whatever metric you use, whatever Dave Hickey thinks is enough, if he wins six or seven games, then you know, hey, Rich is still here and he's doing well.
Right.
Great.
Right.
If he has a bad season, if he does 3-9 again, Rich isn't here anyway. So what does it matter to Rich?
Right.
I don't know about the coach and waiting thing, but it's interesting. And it's really the first Wildcat he's had on staff.
Yes, it is.
He's had some chances. You know, when Rich Rodriguez arrived here, Joe Salavea, who had been with on Mike Stoops' staff, a great Wildcat, defensive lineman, NFL player, he had been here, done some really good things. He would have loved to have stayed, and Rich didn't give him an interview. We know Ricky Huntley is another guy who have a lot of head NFL experience, assistant coach experience, college pro. Never really seemed to get a look when something came up. So even though this isn't an on-field position, I think it's a good step. And, hey, the Arizona program could use any bit of good news they can get right now.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's actually a little bit of a buzz as they start camp.
It is.
Today is the first. They reported yesterday. And today they'll hit the practice field for the first time.
And the Wild,
now there's not much to talk about.
Now the Wildcats pick to finish last in the Pac-12 South, but as I will remind our listeners, and you well know, AG, that Washington was picked? Colorado last year was picked last, and they had a good season.
Yes, they did. They went on to do some great things, and I get it. I mean, not every preseason prediction comes out to be true. It's usually the outlier of the bunch. Now, Arizona has played its way into a sixth place prediction. It's, you know, they've earned it.
Yes.
There's I could make the case that maybe they should be 5 instead of 6,
right?
And put ASU below them because ASU has also played their way into such a lousy preseason ranking.
that's a pick'em. That is a pick'em, ASU.
And, you know, you look at Arizona's schedule, and I think just from this distance of the preseason, you know, you give them the game against NAU, and you give them a game against UTEP, that's 2 wins.
Right.
And then I think there's about 4 games that are kind of legit toss-ups. The second game of the year, which is at home against Houston, is, I think, going to be one of those games which might point the way toward how the season is going to go. Because that's really a toss-up game now. And there's a few others. And Arizona kind of needs to win them all.
Yeah. So, practice begins. And this is a schedule that is, well, it's a tough schedule, let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Pac-12. The non-conference schedule has that one tough game against Houston, which isn't a power conference team, but it was just a couple of years ago that Houston was, you know, making a strong case to go undefeated. They're really good. If we want to throw a mid-major label on them, they're a really good mid-major team with a really good transfer quarterback from Texas A&M. So that will be interesting. And, Arizona starts to navigate all the Pac-12 South. They've got to go to USC. I think they, fortunately for them, they don't play Stanford this year. Stanford's been a real thorn in Arizona's side because Stanford's just so physical and has kind of beaten up Arizona in recent years. If they can get to 6 wins, and I think that gets you to some kind of low-level bowl again, which isn't great. I know that's not where Arizona wants to be, but if you can get there this year as a sign of good faith, as it were, if they can do some good things, do well in recruiting, kind of build some momentum, there's some interesting young talent on the team, but they just kind of need to build a bridge in 2017 to what might be better things in 2018.
Okay, Anthony Jimeno. Anthony, we'll talk with you before the opening kickoff, which is not that far away, is it, really?
I mean, no, football is almost here, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I wait all year round for football. Okay, AG, have a great day. Thanks.
All right, Bill, thanks.
All right, Anthony Jimeno. We talk with him Usually we talk a little bit more with AG during the football season. That's just probably because of my preference. Anyway, Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com wanted me to mention, and I'm glad he reminded me, Tucson voter registration deadline is today for the upcoming primary election. Thank you, Dylan, for that reminder. Mike Shaw and Mike Check the program from 4 to 5. Ray Allen will be ably assisting Mr. Shaw from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, the program Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, a very full hour planned, actually very jam-packed week as usual here on our noon hour program with the Buckmaster program. Have a great afternoon. On behalf of Ray, I am Bill Buckmaster.